Hey, thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm your host, Slade Robertson. For over 10 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. Now, if you're feeling overwhelmed or like you can't focus or like you're never getting anything done, you're going to dig this conversation I had with Ryan McRae. Ryan's a writer and a blogger who helps adults, especially those with ADHD, be more successful and productive. He's an Evernote ninja, board game player, and he admits to having an unhealthy relationship with hash browns. I met Ryan McRae at Tim Grawl's Bestseller Summit in Nashville last October 2016. I don't think he realizes this, but Ryan was actually the very first author I spoke to at the pre-conference mixer. So from my perspective, it's an interesting serendipity that has led to his being on the show. I liked Ryan's energy before I even found out what he does or what he writes about. The night we met, we talked about science fiction and fantasy novels, and I asked him if we could be friends on Facebook just so he could share more book recommendations with me. I'm always thirsty for book recommendations. It's actually a huge social motivator for me. Anyway, you'll hear why I enjoy talking to Ryan. He's funny, he's entertaining, and he has a unique down-to-earth voice in the productivity realm of personal development. And I had some really cool epiphanies as a result of the tips Ryan shares on this episode. One is a simple exercise for releasing pressure from your brain, like what to do first when you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed. And the other is a cool visualization for focusing your attention on your dreams and being able to discern the big creative ideas from all the other stuff cluttering your mind. Lots of cool insights. Let's listen. Here he is.
I'm Ryan McRae, known as the ADHD nerd, and I help people who have distracted minds, focus, become productive, and successful. And I do that through humor, courses, and training.
Cool. Well, you know, I'm always looking to bring these sort of ethereal spiritual topics down to earth as much as possible. And my kind of vibe on Shift Your Spirits and the audience that I attract are all very interested in concepts like life purpose and path and all that, but we don't want it in an airy-fairy way. We want it in a really practical way. And, you know, obviously our gifts are part of our purpose, you know, the things that we're really good at, and people tend to focus on those. Yeah. But often purpose involves something that may have been painful or challenging. And, you know, one of the reasons I was interested in talking to you, Ryan, on a podcast about spirituality is because you represent someone who's chosen a purposeful path around a subject that I would assume represents one of your greater challenges in life, right? Yeah, so, talk to me a little bit about your perspective on choosing this kind of quote unquote negative thing, ADHD, as a vehicle for helping people.
You know, and that's a great question. When I was growing up, I was always like the absent-minded professor. I was always the kid who, you know, forgot his pencil, forgot his homework, forgot that there was a test. I was just that scatterbrained kid, and really ADHD wasn't a thing back in the 80s. I wasn't a hyperactive kid. I wasn't the kid who was up out of his seat, which a lot of people picture ADHD as being. I just, as my third grade teacher would say, I was the kid who just drifted away. Like, I really couldn't dial into fractions or whatever. My mind would just kind of carry on to other places. And as I got older, you know, I had to develop ways to kind of to function and to be successful and to kind of not repress that part of myself, but kind of channel it into a different way that allowed me to have the best of both worlds, being able to be creative, to have that drifting feeling, and then on the other side to be able to focus and be productive. And that's kind of what I help people do, so that it's not such a negative thing.
Well, I love the idea of learning productivity from someone who is potentially the most challenged by concepts of productivity. Yeah. It's kind of if that is one of your big Achilles heels in life, obviously you've had to work a lot harder than the average person to do a lot of that stuff. So in a way it makes this cool kind of sense that you might know more about it than people that it comes easily to. And I also think that there's a super authenticity about you representing for people who probably feel like you do. So, you know, I'm wondering, like, who were you before you became the ADHD nerd, like, your official role? Take us back a little bit, you know, near past. What led you to this? Was there a turning point or a life experience that kind of made you say, like, I need to do something different?
Yeah, when I was in college, I studied special education for 5 years. I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and I also was an English major. I wanted to be a writer, and I spent, you know, when you study to be a teacher, like, it is no joke. Like, there's certification, there's classes, and there's student teaching and all this. And when I got into the classroom, Slade, I was like, by about week three, I knew that this wasn't for me. I thought to myself, I am in some deep weeds right now. So I just, my brain is wired for chaos, and the structure of, like, 8 to 9 is math, 9 to 10 is English, 10 to 11 is gym. Like, my brain just started to freak out. And, you know, I tried it for 3 years trying to jam this square peg into a round hole. So I went on to get my master's. I left teaching. I became a substitute teacher so I could just simply teach and leave. And it was enough variety to keep me going. I got my master's, couldn't find any work. And a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to be a resident director? I said, what's that? He's like, you work with college students. I'm like, what's the rent? He goes, it's free. It's free rent. You live with the students. And I was like, that sounds awesome. And it was so much chaos. It was like a buffet. It was a Las Vegas buffet of chaos because I'm living with 600 college students. So every day was different. Every day was like this social ER that I had to, like, triage every day, where I was like, roommate's not getting together. This person's having a hard time. We're having a pizza party. We're doing this event. And I thrived. I was finally the plant put in the right soil, and I'm like, yes. And I did it for 9 years. And when it's a great job, Slade, when you're like 29.
Yeah.
But when you're 38, man, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I just cannot dump out one more beer. I just can't do it. And so the problem is that, you know, I'm highly ADHD, and so my impulsivity is great at times where I'm like, I'm a party waiting to happen. But sometimes, like, my impulsivity just, there's a shadow portion to it. And sometimes I don't know which side is talking. And I was like, a friend's like, hey, and I was just desperate to get out of this job. And a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to train soldiers? And I was like, that sounds fun. And they're like, you know, you'd have to learn some new things. And I love learning new things. I was like, great. He's like, it's in Afghanistan. And I was like, all right, let's go. And, you know, and I remember, Slate, I remember this, you know, we have these moments in our life that crystallize these imprints that happen where we're like, I'll never forget that. You know, I could live to be 190 and I will never forget this. I got off that plane, looked at the military base I was going to be living on for a year. And I was like, what have I done? Like, I have screwed this up. And I spent a year in Afghanistan, and it was like radioactive level chaos. Like, it is just, you know, it was a good year for me. I learned a lot. I appreciated a lot. I emotionally and spiritually grew a lot. But boy, when I got on that plane after a year, you know, you just saw this cloud of dust. You know, we all hustled on that plane. We're like, go, go, let's get out of here. And I came back, and I found that, you know, I really had a passion. You know, I joined another company that is also chaotic. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I am built for chaos.
Yeah.
I'm built for it. I'm engineered. You know, I always think of the tarot card, the Tower, where it's like everything's just crumbling. And I'm like, you know, and everyone, whenever that card flips over, people are like, you know, in any movie or TV show or whatever it is, it's like, dun, dun, dun. You know, they play like the scary music and like lightning flashes. And I'm like, no, that's me. I'm like, I'm the Tower of all the cards. Like, I'm the guy who's like, it's all falling apart. Let's figure it out. How do we, you know, I love that. That's where I am. A friend of mine was like, if you were an element, you would be like, you're just the rapids. That's what you are. You're not just water. You're not like this still calm. You're the rapids.
Mm.
And that's I think when we talk about being like, oh, I'm fire, I'm air, I'm like, what context? Like, are you a tornado? Like, that matters. And they're like, oh, right. I'm like, it's not what you think it is. So,
that's a good point.
I'm like, you got to define it. Like, yeah, because I'm a tornado some days, I'm the rapids, but that's my thing. I thought to myself, there are other people out here who are built for chaos and they're not making it. Like, I worked hard to like kind of contain the rapids because, you know, there's tough boundaries. The only reason there's rapids is there's tough boundaries, earth boundaries on each side and gravity. Like that's what makes it go fast. And if you can control it, it's really great. But if it's out of control, it's a problem. So I've learned how to like to funnel that. And go from there. That's what I want to teach people. So, you know, one of my favorite pictures I have of myself, it's me cross-legged sitting in a road, in the middle of a road, just drinking, having a drink, you know, and I'm like, that's me. That's who I am. I'm that guy. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know you had all this, archetypal, elemental language in you. It's a pleasant surprise because the people who listen to my show will truly appreciate that. And it's a very cool point about the context of the element. You know, is it in a calm state, or you know, is it an earthquake, or is it just potting
right.
soil? You know,
right? Yeah.
So I have to ask you about this, and I'm going to ask you about something you may never have heard of it, and so don't feel put on the spot or tested. But I want to bring it up because it's something I've brought up on my site many times before. But have you ever heard of a book called "Refuse to Choose" by a lady named Barbara Scher?
No.
Okay, I want to tell you about this because if you came to me and you were like, hey, Slade, I want to get a personal session with you, and this is my experience, and when you were describing all the stuff about chaos, right, and how you like learned that you actually thrived in those environments. Right. So this lady named Barbara Scher, she's kind of a she works with a lot of creative people, a lot of writers. She kind of comes out of the 70s and 80s. She's been around for a long time. She's an older lady now. And she identified working with all these people, creative types in productivity kind of context, that there's a certain type of personality that she calls a scanner. Okay, and a scanner is a person who is just completely not wired to pick a major, get a job after college, work for 20 years, do the same thing every day. Like, we go insane in that environment. And part of her theory is that we thrive on learning things, because the brain is a problem solver. And so there is a personality type that really gets off on being constantly dropped in the middle of Afghanistan and have to figure out like, oh, what is this about? And how do I master this? And her theory is that everybody has a payoff point. So the way that this relates back to me is I was one of those people who always made straight A's, and you know, you can put me in any job, I'll do it well. And I like doing any job at the beginning. I mean, even if it was like working on a road crew, there would be a period of time where I'd be like, this is awesome. I'm like getting muscles, and you know, all these people are really cool, and I would have never met them before. You know, I'd be like soaking it up.
Yeah.
And at some point I get the payoff on whatever it is that my personality gets out of that. And usually that point occurs when you figure it out. You're like, okay, I understand how to do this now. And now I'm done. Let's go learn something new. So anyway, she came up with this concept called Scanners. And she wrote a book called Refuse to Choose, a program for doing everything that you love. And I discovered this around the time that I became the public persona that I am, because I had had like a different job every year of my life, pretty much. And I thought something was wrong with me. And when I read this book that said, actually, you're just wired differently, and if you think of it as an asset, there's a whole other filter for viewing who you are and what you do and the kind of jobs that you're going to be good at. And so anyway, she lists a lot of the different types of you know, positions that are good for people like us. And some type of journalism is actually high on the list, because we're constantly redefining our topic. You know, like for me, every one of these podcast episodes is a chance for me to like learn something different, explore your site, you know, explore you as a person and have a conversation with someone different. So there's a constant element of being thrown into a blank slate all the time, right? So anyway, I mentioned that to you because I think you're a scanner, and and you figured it out on your own the hard way. And I just wanted to get that in there for anyone who might be exploring your site after listening to the show.
Yeah.
That they might want to also check out that book. And so, of course, I'll put a link to it, and you can check it out too.
Yeah, I will, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, there's somebody out there listening, probably many hundreds, who may not have been officially like diagnosed as ADHD, but, you know, they're struggling with being productive, feeling overwhelmed. They can't follow through on anything. So, you know, what's some basic advice you have for those kind of people? Like, where do you start? Just kind of,
Yeah, it is that overwhelmed feeling, that feeling of not getting stuff done. It's pretty piercing, because, you know, our social media is really designed to just show the highlight reels of everybody's life. And so we're like, man, how come I don't get anything done? Like, you know, we're always looking at everybody's highlight reels. So, you know, and we've just got this blooper reel, and we're like, oh, man. So I would say, you know, take some time and, you know, get out a big sheet of paper. And I do this with a Sharpie. And the reason is, and I'll tell you the reason is in a second. It'll make sense. But then I just write down all the stuff I am overwhelmed with. I just kind of just pop off the lid, and I just dump it all onto the page, because our brains are terrible short-term memory keepers. Like, they're not really designed for that. They're designed for long-term memory storage, experiential storage, that sort of thing. And I just write everything down, and no matter how random it is, it goes down. The reason I use a Sharpie is because if I use a real thin pen, then that tells my brain to get really exact. So instead of like, get groceries, I'm going to be like, get spinach, get, you know, get milk, get eggs. It's like, no. Be as broad as you can, just so you feel that pressure come off. Because your brain will constantly is wired so you don't forget anything. Because if you forget something, then that's a threat. Our brains are designed to point out threats, and so it just doesn't stop. But once you get it down on paper, it realizes it's not a threat anymore, that you're going to forget, and you can get it all down. Then you grab a thin pen and kind of give yourself the details. Then what I do is kind of organize that by, like, are these a bunch of phone calls I can make in a row? Can I, you know, if I'm going grocery shopping, can I drop off the dry cleaning as well? Can I get all that done? That detritus, that like just survival stuff will usually come first in our head. We won't be like, oh, we're not going to plan a trip to Maui before we figure out like that we need paper towels. Like it's just how we're wired. But then, so I would say that's like your daily maintenance. That's just like the crap slate that you have to do. But when it comes to like achieving dreams, your goals, kind of the stuff that like, you know, you want to write a book, you want to start playing the guitar again, you want to travel. That stuff I would use this term in my spirituality. It's more sacred. And so the sacred stuff we kind of have to treat sacredly. I know that sounds really basic or really strange, but we need to be sacred with that stuff.
What does that mean for you?
So that means like me dropping off the dry cleaning isn't as sacred to me as spending quality, undistracted time with people I love. So, you know, I do this shift where I'm like, okay, the dry cleaning, like my life doesn't end when the dry, you know, if I don't get my sweaters in, you know, the earth does not crack open. You know, no one's ever like, oh, if only I would have just hit the dry cleaners, my life would have been so much better. But the sacred things in our life that really help us define who we are, that fill our hearts, that stuff, when it's, I don't want that to be on my to-do list, because I want to treat that I want to have like a delineation, like, hey, this is sacred. I'm going to treat this well and give it my attention. So especially it's fulfilling who I am, if it's helping fulfill the people around me, the people I love. And so that's where I've taken time to just be still and kind of do that planning separately from the rest. And it gives me more energy. It gives me more clarity and creativity. And that time is blocked out. Like, you know, unless not even the ice cream truck is outside is going to distract me from, you know, working on those tasks. So I would say start there. I would say start with, hey, get the tasky task stuff out. And then, you know, when you've got that settled, let's move to the sacred and kind of work on those tasks. Yeah, that would be where I'd start.
That's really cool. I actually like the exercise about the kind of brain dump. I'm going to try that actually, because I feel overwhelmed a lot, and I feel like there's not enough time in the day. But at the same time, I'm super protective of the time. Like you said, that's the sacred time. And right. I think too, when you run your own thing, like, you know, even if it's a side hustle, if it's your passion project that you're doing in addition to other kind of work, there is a real danger of just being able to work all the time, like 24/7.
Right.
And I actually have to make rules that, like, you know, I don't even think about certain things after 4:30 in the afternoon. I just don't do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't answer email for anybody who sends me an email late at night, unless they're having like a download issue on my website.
Right. Right.
I'm not going to mess with it. But, no, that's really cool, because even with, you know, having that special sacred time, I'm fiercely protective of like my writing time, and, you know, when I am working on podcasts and, you know, things like that where I do need real focus attention, and, you know, I will, you know, just not respond to anything or anyone when I'm in those kind of modes. So it's a little bit more of getting lost in managing all the little crap, right? Like that's the stuff that feels so terrible, because the big things are easy to kind of focus on. And I feel like it's like all the little stuff that's like gravel that's just weighing you down. It's like every little individual thing is a pebble, but all together that's where the anxiety comes from.
Yep.
For me.
And for your audience who likes to visualize this, just imagine your mind like a crowded room, And every person in there is like a task. And, you know, and I would say like the things that we do rotely, you know, the groceries, the laundry, the vacuuming, like those are like adults. Like we understand how those, we've done those before. But when it comes to our dreams, when it comes to that, they're like 3 to 5 year olds who are just in the room and they're just overlooked because we can't see them in the crowd. And so that's why we need to like empty this room slowly of the tasks and get that room open so we can see like, hey, what needs development? What needs nurturing? What needs our real attention? And I think that has helped me find ideas or lost things where I'm like, oh, I didn't see you there. There you are. And we kind of miss that. So,
yeah. That's very cool. I like that. I like a visualization. You should consider doing a guided visualization around that idea. Putting that out there.
That'd be good.
I can see you doing that. Yeah. So you've got like a free course people can get if they go to your website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I offer free email courses. One is on getting your calendar like straightened out. A lot of people have a hot mess when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. One on procrastination, again, hot mess. And then just one on habit building. And they're just email courses. They're kind of they're a little snarky, I'm not gonna lie. They're not very something you'd find in a textbook, but I kind of break it down and I kind of no nonsense it. So, you know, I'm like, here's what we're gonna do today. And I'd love for them to check that out. They can check it out at theadhdnerd.com.
And that is the ADHD.
The ADHD nerd.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed that when I typed it in wrong the first time. So what's next for you? You got any big projects you're working on?
You know, I just wrapped up launching my superhero productivity, and your viewers can get more information about that if they join one of the courses. And then I'm working on a course called The Focus Coach, where it's just on how to focus better. And some of it's visualization. Some of it is just, you know, how to detox yourself from a distracted life at times. I'm a big reader into Cal Newport's book, Deep Work, where he talks about that we've started to lose the ability to focus on, you know, a deep task for like 3 to 4 hours. And, you know, what do we lose in that? And it kind of shifted the way I think. And I talk a little bit about that. So, but other than that, I'm tomorrow I head to Nashville just to spend time with some friends and some hot chicken, which I enjoy, and biscuits. Oh, so many biscuits. But, yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
Cool. I haven't heard of that book before. It sounds like something I'd definitely like to check out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ryan, thank you for coming on and sharing your story and your perspective on this. It's been really cool.
Oh, it's been great, Slade. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you're new to podcasts, it's probably that purple button on your iPhone. Click it, search Shift Your Spirits, and hit subscribe. Then all the episodes will be there for you automatically, and you can take them with you. The reason I keep explaining this is because over half of you guys are just listening to the episodes through the audio player on my blog in your web browser, and that's fine. That's why I put it there. But I want to make sure that everyone gets clued in to the coolness and the benefits and the mobility of using podcast app technology. So that's why I sound like a broken record about this. I am evangelizing podcasts for my tribe. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, check out automaticintuition.com. In just a few, I'm going to share my oracle message with you. But before I forget, I want to tell you a little bit about my Patreon page, which allows you to support my time in producing this show. Here's the thing. I've published weekly articles and now audio episodes for 11 years, all for free. I don't run third-party advertisements, never have. You can spend hours on my site, gorging yourself on content. There's now an archive button at the bottom of every page that will take you to all the Shift Your Spirits posts and episodes. And you won't have to scroll past embedded Google ads ever. So I want you to think about this for just a second. Are these episodes worth like a quarter to you? If there was a tip jar on your car dashboard, would you throw me a few coins when you like one of the shows? Pledging your support on Patreon is comparable to buying one of my books for $12. That seems reasonable, right? That's a whole year's worth of content for me for as little as $1 a month. Plus, listeners who support the show on Patreon can access bonus monthly Q&A episodes. You get to send in your questions, I record answers to them, and they go out to patrons of the show exclusively. If you want to find out how you can support the show and become a patron, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits, and that's patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. Now, before I go, as always, I want to leave you with a message in answer to a question or concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Let's talk about the Tower. It's one of the major arcana in the tarot. Ryan McRae actually brought it up on the episode. So I'd like to read to you about the Tower from my favorite interpreter of the tarot, Eric Ganther, who wrote the Cosmic Tribe Tarot in collaboration with artist Stevie Postman. I'll link to that deck in the show notes, but here's what Eric writes about the Tower. When the Tower crashes your reading, stop immediately and look around. What are you doing in life? Where are you going? The Tower is a siren call from the soul. Dig deep below your surface desires and see what your soul really needs. Big change may be in store, especially if you have recently experienced terminal frustration, angry outbursts, or inexplicable depressions. Whose truth are you living, yours or someone else's? Towering institutions that once determined your value crumble in the face of rapid technological change. We are on the verge of a great awakening that will require each of us to be true to our own experience and to the inspirations of nature, art, and friendship. Only faith can guide us through this time of great and difficult change. And I'll talk to you later.